Welcome, Fanchies, to our Season 4, Episode 7 recap. We have a very special guest in the house, but you have to stay tuned to find out who that is coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Fanchies? Welcome to Season 4, Episode 7, Truths Other Than the Ones. You tell yourself.
We tell ourselves.
We all tell ourselves. I'm Oriana. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram at Oriana Leo, and check out Tilt by Oriana too. Damn. And I'm always joined by my most fabulous co-host, Isaac Johnson.
Most fabulous, also your only co-host. You can follow me on Twitter at Isaac Johnson or Instagram, the Isaac Johnson. But who cares about me?
Chris Coy's in the house.
Chris Coy's in the house.
And super close. And super
close. Yeah, we're going to get real close.
We're cuddling with Chris Coy. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. We're
so happy to have you. Isaac, top. And you too. What were your first thoughts when you saw this episode in its final cut?
You first.
Your thoughts first.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, first thoughts? Like when it first opened up?
Top, yeah.
Oh, man. I knew what was coming, obviously. Anna, that's my first thought. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, here it comes, you know?
Sure.
And then the Fanchy in me, the nerd in me, was like, oh, that's the blood from the safe. And then boom, right into it. And I totally geeked out a little bit right there.
It totally was. I shared that sentiment with you, yes.
Yeah. And I have to say that the Fanchy in me also was like, why the didn't Burton just remove his glasses before he killed her?
Oh, yeah. That's the first time that's
ever
happened.
We didn't see it happen. Did he do that?
No, he keeps them on and walks through the water and takes her down.
Yeah, let's talk to Jonathan and Greg and let's help them to go back and edit this episode. Because clearly, they missed that. I love this episode, obviously.
Me too.
I'm very, very sad that we only have one more left. I'm in denial.
Me too.
I can't believe it, but... love Job and Leo there, and that retribution was really awesome. Obviously, the Hood Brock scene was really cool, and then there was another scene in the film that reminded me, or in the film, in the show that reminded
me. It feels like a film.
Yeah, well, it feels like a film that reminded me of Fight Club for some reason. I don't know why. We'll get that in a bit.
Yes, we will. And I agree with you. I was very sad. I was happy to see Deputy Cruz and Burton meet because I had predicted and asked for that fight scene. Mm-hmm. When I saw it over, I was like, damn, why didn't we get two more episodes?
Yeah.
I will toot my own horn and say that last week someone said if anyone would kill her, it would be Burton. I'm just going to say.
Toot, Isaac, you were right.
Go ahead, Isaac. Say you called it.
Yeah.
You
just say it.
I don't want to say that I called it.
You called it.
But I just absolutely called it. Nailed it. And once again, you're taking credit. Oriana, but that's cool.
No, I just did it way before you. Anyways.
What's a partnership without a little bickering?
Yes.
You know, especially when there's a Nazi between you?
Yes.
That's not fair.
A pretend Nazi.
Yeah.
A protsy?
If you will.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So funny. Yeah. So your short but highly impactful scenes in this episode, that looked like a psychotic break. It was edited to look that way. What did you have to do to get yourself in that state?
Well, I'm married.
Done. I'm also married. I understand. Let's move on.
Yeah, you hear me? No, to a certain degree, it was just like, what if your wife's not answering, you know? And it's been...
Oh, yeah.
And especially if she's been holding out for months. you know? And on top of that, there has been a break, though. There's been a switch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of... not to go back
you can go
too far,
wherever
but, like,
you want to go.
Okay. but, like, episode 6 with the nudity, like, in my mind... Half of the justification, obviously, was because equal opportunity nudity. There should be that. And Ivana and I spoke on that before they ever came to me with that offer. Mm. Towards the beginning of the season, Ivana and I, and Ivana and my wife really developed like an affinity, and so we would all hang out a lot. Mm-hmm. And Ivana was talking about how she's lost count of how many times she's gone nude on the show, and at this point, like, they barely even come up and ask anymore. It's just like and she was like, and there hasn't been a single full frontal male nude moment on the show.
Nope.
And nor is there really ever on any other show, unless it's like, you know, they'll bring in
French.
Of course. Yeah. But like on a U.S. show, even like Game of Thrones, when they occasionally show like a side glimpse of a penis, mm-hmm. it's never a lead's penis. It's right. like yeah. it's like an extra
True.
Who checked the
yeah,
will work
check.
Nude.
It's like a stunt penis.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Bring in the stunt cock. And like instead, and so when we were talking on that, I said to her that like ever if the opportunity ever arises,
whoa,
that I would be happy to, as long as you know, as long as it was within the confines of like story and narrative that made sense and worked yeah. for the character. And when that scene came up and they came and asked me, it was like, well, not only do I feel an obligation to Ivana at this point, but also that like it's like a rebirth. It's like Calvin being born again.
It is.
It's, and so it's
what it looks
great.
Like.
It's like him in that entryway, mm-hmm. naked. It's like him coming mm-hmm. through the threshold. Like him stepping. Yeah. When he steps towards her, he's a new man. And really, Job is right. I heard in an episode or two ago of you guys
yeah,
where he talks about... Yeah, Hoon. Sorry.
Yeah.
One of my greatest friends. I'm like calling him his character's name.
Yeah.
But
it's a safe place.
Yeah, true. And he's not listening.
I hope he is.
Yeah, me too. No, he's not. He's probably like building a rocket or something.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
an incredibly intelligent man.
Yeah.
But he coined it. He was absolutely right that there was a transition that happened at the rally mm-hmm. when Calvin finally like kind of sees his father-in-law as a traitor.
Right.
And decides that he has to go.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, there's a new man there.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, the actual, like, killing of Watts and cutting him up and all of that, even though you don't see all of that, that's
yeah,
still,
sure.
in the actor's mind, that has to take place. And somewhere in that journey, sawing him up, cutting him up, all that stuff, a new man is born, and that's who stands before his wife in that doorway,
right.
naked,
yeah.
is a reborn.
I totally
talent.
Think that's the audience chance to see that, like, this is him
mm-hmm.
anew, and
right.
literally being
exactly.
born because he's naked.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a cool little touch.
Yeah. I love the. I mean, the bathroom, the mirror, the screaming. It's like
right.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just
oh.
That's the
yeah,
scene
yeah,
I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so
like
okay.
in
We're
that scene,
there.
Right? In that scene, it is like a break has happened and. I would say that typically Calvin is kind of cold and calculated and
mm-hmm.
he kills because he needs to or because he feels as though it needs to be done.
Right.
But in that moment, homie just walked in at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in that
yeah.
he's
I
not...
Don't know. I kind of was thinking that it was going to happen at some point.
I think we all were hoping.
Yeah,
even
I was kind of hoping.
All through shooting the season, me too, it was like, and there was really a moment between maybe episode 5 and us shooting episode 7 where we didn't know that it was going to actually, that we were going to get that payoff.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that we were
going
to get to come full circle and actually kill my boss.
Walking through the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was
gonna
say,
it felt as awesome as it
did. I bet it did.
Yeah. Well, what I thought, like, because we already had the fantasy killing of him, I thought, like, did he actually do it this time?
Right.
Or does he even know that he did it this time because it happened sort of in his mind before and now it happened again?
Right, right.
But yeah, like the walking through the office was like,
amazing.
That's the moment that was
very
killer
moment.
Tyler Durden for me, which is,
exactly.
you know, like, it was just really cool and like the music.
I
and
loved
everything.
The elevator music choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
Amazing.
That contrast going.
Mm-hmm.
I loved every second of it.
Yeah, me
yeah.
too. And go.
Go ahead.
Go.
No, you.
You first.
You're the guest.
All right, fine. just to like nerd out with you guys, when we were shooting that scene, and they ended up having to leave it in there because we only got one take of putting him through the mirror,
mm-hmm.
not because of time constraints, but because we go to shoot it, and Eric, I can't remember his last name, but he was the guy playing my boss's...
Yeah.
He was my boss's stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
Super talented, really physical young man. And he comes in and he's like, all right, so, you know, we'll just kind of half speed it. And we half speed it. And then we're about to shoot. And he's like, all right, I'm going to give you a little jump. And I was like, no, don't. They make me work out every day. Like, I'll
yeah,
throw
yeah,
you.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, okay. And then we go. And just because I think he's used to having to assist a little bit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And instead, Calvin threw his ass, and
yeah.
he jumped.
Yeah.
And so he flew. And if you watch that shot of him going to the mirror, if you frame by frame it, you can see that he went through the mirror and then through the wall.
Oh,
yeah, no, I saw.
And we had to pick him up out of the wall to keep going.
Yeah.
And they ended up using that because, And if anybody that works at the Cork Factory where we filmed that is listening, if you remove that mirror, I think there's still a hole in the wall.
Yeah, so it was like concave there for a minute. Yeah, I was just like, oh, wow, you really busted him through there.
Intense.
It was, but yeah, like you fully like went there, in like the look on your face, you're just, all this stuff. And like,
well, you got to get primal when you can, right?
Yeah, exactly. But It was just like, he's fully there. Yes. We had any question at all, he was fully there.
I love that you recognize that.
I was scared. I was like enthralled, but your performance is so impeccable. I grew up in Santa Barbara, which is like, you know, very nice part of Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But in high school, there were Northsiders. We had gangs on every side of the town.
That's right.
Northsiders were the Nazis, the neo-Nazis, and like they did some really bad stuff. I saw some really bad stuff in high school, and they were really scary.
That's
and
me too. Yep.
That what your performance brought me right back to that like moment of these guys are super unstable and anything can happen and don't like
right.
It was just it brought me back. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I'm glad I could
it was
scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
Yeah. That's funny. I mean, that's where the reason that I can act or the reason that you see it and it reminds you of that is because as we spoke about on the red carpet that night that I grew up in a similar situation with not as much of like a huge, it wasn't a huge number of them, but there were several, and specifically there was one kid whose dad kind of ran that show in Southwest Florida, and as such he adopted is the wrong word, he was forced into it, and therefore like literally we were, I think he was a year younger than me, so like I'm a senior in high school, he's a junior. He's 16 years old and he had a swastika tattoo on his arm. Right. It's like, you don't even know what that means yet, man. Yeah. Like, you don't know how. I would wager, too, that he's probably had it removed since then, you know? Or he probably wants it removed. I don't know anything
fans
about that
home.
Kid anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's funny. My brother grew up with a guy who was...
John,
really,
if you're watching, tweet me about how you feel.
Yeah, exactly. A friend of my brother's, they were really close. And then for whatever reason, someone kind of got into his ear and, you know, sort of turned him over to that. And he had a tattoo, which he's since had removed.
Right.
And, like, you know, sort of made amends for all of the things that he did during that time. Mm. But it's amazing how someone can get pulled into that life.
That's
right. And in this story, your brother pulls you into this life, which is... Can you talk about, like, the relationship that you guys have, like, as characters?
Yeah, of course. What we kind of worked out was that... Well, this plays into, like, Watts as well.
Sure.
Watts, I wish that the show would have had more time. Again, I wish...
We all wish it had more time.
Because there was such a rich backstory there with Watts and the two Bunker brothers and how... obviously, Kurt is a few years older, bigger boy, and maybe has a little more... fuck in
him. Yeah, exactly.
And always had. And so, like, we grew up in a house with an abusive father, our real father.
Yeah.
And really, the kind of story that we talked about, just to take it as far as we could, was that he physically abused Kurt, and he maybe sexually abused Calvin.
Wow.
And that Kurt found Watts and was pulled in as like a young rough and pulled into the Brotherhood and kind of found the only type of family, real family, love, support, or at the very least like somebody having his back that he had ever had, and then in turn pulled me in, because why wouldn't he? Like, even though these are both shitty places to dwell, this one is better than this one.
Yeah.
So like, pull Calvin out and pull me out of it. And also Watts then went to our house, knocked on the door and told our father, like, these two boys don't belong to you anymore.
Right, wow.
And he saved me, is how I saw it as a young abused boy.
Right.
And that's, like, where that bond was kind of formed.
Mm.
And then at some point, Kurt grew out of it or whatever, for whatever reason, decided to leave and repent, and then did so. But, of course, Calvin isn't going to leave because, like I said, Calvin really felt like he owed so much to Watts.
Right.
Kurt brought him to the Brotherhood, but Watts is the one who showed up at his house and told his father, if you ever touch this boy again, I'll kill your ass.
Right. Also, he marries his daughter.
Right, exactly.
Which has got to feel like so much more of a betrayal when he comes back the moment that you do decide you're going to kill him.
Right.
Because you've not only been saved by him, you've been brought into his family.
Right, that's right.
Now the ultimate abandonment.
Yeah, and then he says, well, she should have married your brother instead.
Right, exactly. So, like, oof. Wrong thing to say to the wrong dude.
Yes.
You can't say that to the kid who, A, you saved, and then, B, because you saved him, he opened his heart to you and took every single philosophy, ideology, everything that Watts ever preached to him, Calvin took to heart.
Yeah.
And so, in turn, Watts turned this boy into a purist.
Right. Yeah.
And then when he became a traitor, that purist said it doesn't matter that you're my father.
Which it actually makes sense that if he is a purist, that he'd be like, well, you're abandoning the real cause, so I have to remove you.
Yeah, and that's a real rule in Aryan Brotherhood folklore, is that the only enemy greater than our enemy is a traitor.
Wow.
So, like, the second that...
If you're not with us, you're against us.
Yeah, yeah. And if you are, we tear you apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like, this is probably one of my favorite storylines when, like, for, like, many personal reasons, for most of us, it shouldn't be, but it's very well written. And
because at its core is a human, not a Nazi.
Exactly. Right. And then also the job that you and Tom do playing these guys, which, you know, like, you believe them, but you really enjoy the performance, like you said, because there is a human at the heart of it. It's really
and such every episode, my wife and I would be reading, and it would be like, if you know, you look between the lines, between like the bloody banshee lines, and there is this story about family between these two and these two brothers who have been pulled apart, and yet like somewhere in there, like
they love each other.
Yeah, they do love each other.
But they're gonna have to kill each other.
That's right.
And we'll see. You know. We'll see. We'll save it for predictions. No. We're gonna move along just a little bit into the story. No, don't be sorry. But we see that Calvin has unleashed his plan on Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
All the drugs are gone. Right?
Yep.
So Proctor's upset. We know that Burton has already gotten his glasses dirty with Deputy Cruz. Sad to see Anna go, but...
Yeah, it was
looked
so
good
fast.
On the way out.
Yeah, it looked great on the way out, but like it was just so fast. And like, oh man, she's already gone.
I know.
Yeah.
That splatter was pretty
I thought
awesome.
We were going to get like one more like awesome fight with her. But,
true. Yeah. She was so dedicated too. Oh man, I should have seen her in the... It was called The Pit, where we'd all go and train and do like fight choreography and stuff like that. She'll kick your ass, boy.
I'm sure.
She was here last week.
I'm sure, not going to mess with her.
Shout out, Anna.
Yeah, she can move.
So we have kind of this love story with Brock and Hood, I feel like, this episode. Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it.
4 years in the making.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the crime story continues. We have Lucas and Brock tracking Bodie, finding Veronica Dawson. You know, they don't know where she is. They have a series of events inside this house that they're looking for, getting drugged and left into yet another cell.
What a great little den that devil worshiper has, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Great is not the word I would use, but
I mean,
activities aside.
It seemed tidy. It seemed like he had a plan. But,
yeah. I just mean, you know.
With the pool tables and the
bars.
That's
what I mean. Yeah, it's a cool
little
demon den. He's doing better than me.
Just a human sacrifice.
Yeah.
For all of fun stuff.
Human sacrifice corner pocket.
That's literally what I just wrote. Agent Dawson is in the pit. I love that. We've got these two, we've got the parallels, right? We have Hood and Brock, and then we have Declan and Veronica, right? And they're each trying to shrink each other. Mm-hmm. They're each in this dance, right?
I loved that scene between them where she's tied up and he comes and sits on the thing, and he's like, you're not afraid of me, huh? Mm-hmm. She's like, I've seen behind the curtain too many times. And he's like, the curtain, and she's like, you know what I mean? Like that little...
But it's fascinating
she's like,
because...
Dude, Wizard of Oz reference for first of all. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But to me, it is an interesting argument to be made that you have two people with really different perspectives that both think they're right.
Right.
And one is imposing their will on the other, and if the other one had the chance, they'd do the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I thought she's doing a great job there of playing like she's confident. I don't really think that she was confident at all. I think that was part of her play.
She's gotta act it.
Yeah,
she
because otherwise she'd be sunk, and if he sees her fear, he'd probably really enjoy it. So she's frustrating him, questioning his ideology. Mm-hmm. I really like that stuff, but I mean, what happens later in the episode is when she comes back and she smokes her crack pipe again. She loves that.
So that was what I wanted to know, was like, where is she? Is she back there?
Yeah, she went back there. Yeah, yeah, and then she's like, then you see what she was really going through there. Right. She's like just breaking down.
Yeah, and that was my question, was like, where is she? Did she bring, so the crack was in the purse that was in the car that she went and got and then went back into the pit and smoked it. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I was like, did she have her purse with her?
God, I wish you guys could. I wish there would have been cameras set up at the table read in that first episode with Eliza, where we all turned the page together and read that she picks up the crack pipe. Yeah.
What?
What was it like?
What was the reaction?
It was just such a great like banshee moment. You know, we're all just like, that's only Banshee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only Banshee. Yes. And like, I gotta say too, like, even though I'd love to see a spinoff with any other character, it doesn't really work because these characters only exist together in this story. However, you could totally do
Agent Dawson
spinoff, sure. the crack smoking FBI,
Bunker Bros spinoff. I mean, I want it, please. But I love seeing Brock and Hood in the jail cell. We have all these amazing moments in cell.
These are moments.
Within four walls.
These are moments we've been waiting
for
4 years.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Especially for Brock to like have these suspicions of him the whole time.
Right.
And then to be finding out what the truth is, and like Matt Servito's doing a great job of like disbelief, kind of relief, kind of shock, and then like then he laughs.
So I wrote I said, holy performance. And I said, Servito, Anthony, Chris Coy, Eric King, who plays Dr. Tim Hubbard, the therapist, had such a moment.
Did you guys watch Dexter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. Like, dude. Yeah, I was expecting him to. Yeah.
So many good performances this episode.
Right.
That was a surprise to me.
Right.
It's a little one off of just that exchange. But we got to see, we see Hood breaking down, we see Carrie breaking down.
That's right. Yeah. That was the last scene she shot. Oh. Of the whole season, of the whole series, man.
Oh,
the last
it was thing committed.
That Ivana shot was that.
Because it looked, I believed that she was losing it.
I was, it was certainly dialed in. I loved it. It was, I mean, like, not like that we don't know that she can act well, but it was just like,
but this whole kind of a new level. Yeah, I felt the same way.
I don't deserve them. Like, I don't even deserve my own children, you know, and that we see that same shame and in Hood, you know, in Lucas, whatever his name is.
Well, I like that she says, I put them in danger again. That moment with Hood like breaking down, like saying the things he said about like why he became Lucas Hood, and that I liked it. It's almost like it just gave him a true purpose, because he was like, I came out of prison, I was no one, and I just wanted to be close to her. And then that this gave him some sort of real purpose, but then all of these terrible things kept happening.
Right,
but
right.
at the same time, he's like, I, you know, I was someone for a while.
Isn't that great? It's like that's what I loved about that moment too. An aunt dials it in so well. He's so present in that moment where, like, he was maybe the greatest thief that ever lived, but he knows that in the end none of that shit matters, and that maybe the only time that he ever had a real purpose in his life was when he was faking being the sheriff of Banshee.
Other than being with Anna, right?
True,
But we've been waiting for this moment for a really long time, and I love that he precursors, like, we're not doing this in here. We're not having a jail.
Well, he's gotta be the man with no name. He's gotta be Hood.
We're not doing this, and then 5 seconds later.
Right.
But so, Brock has some great lines, great writing.
True.
Of just, you know what sucks about this, other than that we're gonna die?
That's so Adam, though. That's Targum. Targum's so good at just,
so
like,
good.
He doesn't, like, he feels no need to, like, gild the lily, if you will. Like, he's just, like, he's totally fine with just talking as humans talk. And
which is great.
That's
which
how it should be. That's how a writer should write.
Exactly.
Excellent writing. I loved that entire scene.
Yeah. So Vito and Ant knew, too, that we all were going to eat that up. They spent, I would say, a month.
Yeah.
Every day together on their own time, just like bouncing ideas back, doing that scene. That scene was probably done 50 different ways before you ended up with the one that they shot. They literally went through like a whole gauntlet of a relationship where, like, halfway through prep, they hated each other. And then by the end, like, you end up with, I mean,
It just cuts to the core, as you said, with the great writing, that I didn't get to be the sheriff I wanted to be. I wanted to be the man that made everyone feel safe. And that is because I realized, oh my gosh, there's probably, as a woman, not thinking as a man, there's probably a lot of men that feel that way.
Of course.
About their families, about, and that's really never occurred to me, in that same way.
Mm-hmm,
I had my own little light bulb of, wow, he's so disappointed in himself.
Right. And that, like, it's ironic that in the end, he realizes that that's all he ever really wanted, mm-hmm. when he spent the majority of his life being the thing that most people try and keep themselves safe from.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's, mm-hmm. as in his own words, like, he's the guy who can get it. He can get into any place that you try and keep locked down.
Right.
Right.
And then now he's like, the only thing that he's disappointed in is that he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's keep like everybody safe.
People respected a criminal more than they respected right, him right. as yes. a sheriff. And right. he has no business
yes.
being there.
Right, yes. right.
I also like that the show has to give us that one little tease of just
of
like,
his name.
What's your name? I'm like, stop doing that. We know you're not going to tell us.
I know. And it's fun, I also though. Like, it's but really I also fun. Like that he didn't reveal everything. He said he was an infiltration specialist, which I loved. Mm-hmm. But we don't find out about Army Boy. We don't find out any,
Soldier
you know,
Boy.
Soldier Boy. We don't get any information. So that's how he identified himself. That's probably how he wants to identify himself.
Well, and maybe to a certain degree, I don't even know that he knows
if even
what he worked for, who he worked for.
Probably
I mean?
Not.
Yeah, exactly. Not.
Probably with that.
Don't they even say there's like.
Yeah, I think when no one knows.
Training him, he's like, what agency? And the guy's like, exactly.
Yeah, right. Dalton. You know, yeah, like that whole thing was like, exactly. And he just went and did what he did.
So I do want to get to Job real quick, just because that was such a winning moment this episode at the very end, obviously. But the pop-up art, the computer with
I tweeted. I was like, the only thing better than that screensaver is Job himself sitting behind a motherfucker fully loaded.
Yeah.
By the way, I would like that screensaver. Is there anyone out there that can commission such a thing?
Oh, beautiful. So good.
But I loved it because this whole idea of what would be a better punishment than murder would be giving him his own life.
Yeah.
His own identity.
Yeah. Well, I just made your punk ass famous.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Fully Job. I mean, it feels like to me like he's rebuilt himself. He's got his full get up on, which I love to see.
Mm-hmm.
He's
in Girl, full when you put your eyeliner on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's on.
He's in full sass mode too, but just like to me like the way that he hopefully as a character is getting past like all of these things, the 20 months that's been gone, is by like figuratively and like almost literally killing himself so that he can like start again.
Another rebirth.
Yeah, and he's reborn again in that moment that I love him. Like the guy says, Job, you can't do this to me or something, and he looks back at him and just like rolls his eyes and walks out.
No, he says,
you don't know who you're talking to.
Exactly.
He says, have a nice short life, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can we just sit for a minute? Like, God, the performance that Hoon Lee brought in this season is just...
Moment of silence. Okay, it's over.
Exactly. What do you say? It's not television. It's like something new.
Yeah,
something
that's why
different.
I keep referring it to as a film sometimes, because it's like this is...
It's definitely film.
It's like eight awesome films.
And the whole time he's doing that performance that we're watching now, he's prepping inside. While he's doing Job, he's becoming the king for The King and I on Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
Like, we wrapped Banshee, he flew straight back home to New York and started The King at Lincoln Center.
That's awesome.
Talent.
So, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you're doing that, like, he had that whole play in his head every day.
Right.
And prepping, getting ready to do that while making sure that he didn't, like, spread himself too thin and, you know, could be present and be the hardest Job he's ever had to deliver.
That's great.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about a little movie called Rogue River.
Why? Oh god.
Because I was prompted that you had a connection, and that's how you got cast on Banshee. Tell us about it.
So Rogue River was my first movie I ever did ever.
How long ago was that?
7 years ago.
Okay.
And A little guy at the time named Adam Targum, who hadn't even gone on to like write for CSI New York or anything yet. Like he was the producer / writer, and then by the end he kind of like directed the movie in parts too. Not to take anything away from Mr. Jordan McClure, if you're watching, you kicked ass as well, buddy.
Yeah.
But it was a little indie genre film that we shot in Oregon. It was the first time I ever suffered on film. It was basically like when I found out that like glamour has almost nothing to do with what we do. Like almost the first thing that I ever had to do on film was die, and it was
funny, but I mean
no, really, it was like 7 in the morning. It had snowed all night. It was 9 degrees. I was naked. And
sensing a theme.
Adam is off camera yelling, Chris, stop shaking and die.
Oh, man.
okay. At which point, like, I finally... through, you know, you heard you earlier, you were like, I'm going to go meditate in my car. Like, mm-hmm. through, you know, whatever alchemy I had to do, yes. like, you find the peace and you die. And then, like, at which point they call cut because the medic is like, oh, he's not shaking. He has hypothermia.
Right. Right. Like, good performance.
Yeah. So did you get hypothermia?
No, not at all. In fact, Adam came running up, and he'll tell you that the moment that he realized that, like, he wanted to work with me forever, maybe, mm-hmm. was that he came up and was like, okay, Chris, we got to get you in the warming tent because the medic says you've got hypothermia because you're not shaking. And I, like, grabbed him and was like, no, we're going to finish this because I'm not shaking through discipline and dedication and focus, so let me do my job.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I love you. I'm going to go sit in the van. It's like, okay. Yeah, that was the origin of
that was
Mr.
how
Targum
you guys met, but then you ended up auditioning for Banshee without
even
knowing
that he was involved.
Oh wow.
We had through over the years there was a couple times where we had run into each other and we'd stay in touch, but it had maybe been close to a year since we had talked. I didn't know that he had been brought on to do Banshee season 3. And yeah, I sent in a tape first, originally for Leo, the hacker.
Famous.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which I really wanted. I was a fan of the show. Mm. Which, like, I mean, can we, for a second, too, like, how rare is that? Like, never does an actor get to, like, it's hard enough to, like, get on a show.
Yeah.
But to, like, get on a show that you are already a fan of?
Nearly impossible.
Right.
I mean,
you know, simply because, like, when you are doing the tape, like, so much of getting a job in the city is just not sweating. Like, just, like, being able to walk in and not be nervous. And a lot of that really comes from, like, devil may care, like, you know, attitude, like,
sure.
you know, give it to me if you want, take it or leave it, whatever, I don't care, on to the next
one. You
get
every job that you don't need.
Right, exactly. And so it's hard to go in or send in a tape or anything for a job that you really are a fan of because you can't help but, like, be nervous and whatever. So anyway, I sent in the tape for Leo and then found out that I didn't have it and I was crushed.
Yeah.
Like, heartbroken.
Isaac can relate.
I've had one of those recently.
Really?
It never gets
any easier, man.
No, it doesn't, but when it's really personally important to you, it
right,
hurts.
Yeah.
But anyway, story, we won't have to relive mine.
No. I want to hear later anyway.
I'll tell you off air.
Yeah. It makes me feel a little less lonely. You
know? It happens to all of us. Right. Good to know that it happens and you still got a job, though. That's what's encouraging to me as an actor. I'm taking that away from the story.
Right. It's so true. And so, found out I didn't get it, heartbroken, like 2-3 weeks later, get the call that, like, they want me to audition for this other role, and I, like, read it, and it's, like, basically all it said was, like, a leader of the local Aryan Brotherhood, rage-filled, something like that, you know? It, to be honest, the character description seemed rather two-dimensional to me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Especially when compared to this Leo character that I had, that was, at the time, it was more complex. It was...
Right.
It was kind of full.
Sure. Yeah.
And, I was like, I remember sitting at the kitchen table with my wife and being like, I don't want to play this Nazi asshole. Like,
really?
He's just going to be this fucking dick the
really?
Whole time.
Really?
Because it wasn't, I think too that it said guest star possible recur. Like, it wasn't.
Right.
There was no hint that, like, this was going to be a big part of the show, anything like that. And so, obviously, I'm not going to stub my nose at it. It was literally the only show on television that I watched was Banshee
right.
at the time. So, I mean, I'll take anything.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah. And so I put it on tape. I send it in. And next thing I know, I get a text from Adam Targum. And he's like, you killed that.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, I, like, find out that he's a producer. They still made me jump through some more hoops. Some other people didn't think that I could be, what was the word? Intense. They were like, I'm feeling intensity right now.
So
yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Who are those people, anyways?
Yeah. And so they made me do another tape and send it in, and then again, though, to touch back on just like secrets that Calvin has.
Oh yeah. We talked about this off air.
Yeah, but like originally, and not just like it was talked about. Like there were scenes written and whole maybe episodes pinned out a little bit where Calvin was gay. Calvin was secretly gay, and he had this.
This would explain a lot, though.
Piece of him that he hated because he was brought up to hate that, but that he could not change, and that Maggie knew, and Maggie held that over him, and that, like, there was like this whole other way that like things maybe possibly were gonna go.
It's just too much,
right? So cool, and in the end, you know, I think that maybe because they knew that there was only gonna be one season, there wasn't enough time to really do everything that they wanted to do between the brothers and show this whole like self-hate personal journey with Calvin.
But here's the thing, none of it's wasted because it all comes through in your performances.
And because, and that's what's great too, is I got to keep those secrets. Even though that's not in story,
It works.
It lit a fire in me that like there's a lot more to this guy than just like Nazi. In fact, like the Nazi thing is so just, it's almost to the side. Like, is he a monster? Yeah, maybe. But there is this human being here who's suffering and who gets shit on and who has to deal with problems like anybody else does. And maybe when he snaps a little too
hard. Well, I mean, snaps.
Yeah.
Isaac, look, you wanted to say something.
Well, just that, like, okay, so, you know, like, I've had to audition for a couple of things where it's like, yeah, these aren't the kind of people I would be. But when you have to bring that home to your wife, I know you have a couple of kids. What do you talk to them about, especially like your kids, like when they can see this sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, luckily as of yet, I haven't had to explain anything. Eventually, I will have to explain at least one photograph. We had my youngest daughter while we were in Pittsburgh shooting, and so there is a picture of me holding Dylan's, probably she's like 2 weeks old, and I had just come home from work. And I wasn't fully washed off yet. Right. And so there's this picture of me holding her, and just peeking behind her head is a swastika right here.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure that, yeah, eventually one day she'll be like, Daddy, why is there so much hate in my heart? And I'll say, well, it all started in Pittsburgh. No, but I mean, I think that you have to, like I said, luckily I still have time to whittle out that conversation that I will no doubt have to have with those kids one day. Like that.
But how do you wash it off? I mean, I know we had Chino in here last season, and he was asking him about how do you wash off this monster, like when you go home. And he was saying he actually took a bath.
Yeah, you did. Well, yeah. A big part of it is like a good hot shower and stuff like that. And it's so true that we're just like aesthetic beings. Like, we believe what we see. And so I would come home, because like at the end of like however many hours in the day it took to shoot, there's a lot of days where you don't want to sit there for 45 minutes while they take off the tattoos, so you take the kit home with you. And I would like have a cleansing hour in the bathroom where I would like wash everything off and then take a hot shower and then step out and like
None of this sounds glamorous, by the way. It isn't.
And just like a nerdy question, but how do they apply the tattoos?
It's just like when we were kids, temp tats. You know, how they like put tats in its water.
Okay.
It's just like that, except they're like professional grade.
Yeah, of course.
And then they don't come off, though, easily. Unless it was like maybe two episodes in, they discovered that this like mechanics hand cleanser to get like axle grease off of your hands worked best.
That sounds like a great thing to bathe in your body in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then you like walk in, your freaking 3-year-old is like playing in it. It's like, oh shit.
Whoops.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the peanut butter baby.
Yeah. But that stuff was like magic. I wish I knew the name of it. I would totally like just shamelessly
pour whatever. I was like bag bomb because I actually use that on hands. Yeah. We have to talk about that scene with Burton and our 360 degree fight scene, chopping up the Nazis.
What'd you guys think?
It was great in terms of like knowing that like our imaginations could do a lot of the work. Uh-huh. Personally, I would have loved to see it.
Of course, wouldn't we?
But I mean, I think, you know, for a lot of people watching, they probably know that like, was talked about that the show didn't get the exact budget that it wanted to. So
they were forced to be creative.
So they're forced to be more creative, and that seemed like the best fix for not having to be able to do that. And also, we have one more episode coming, so I imagine that's where a lot of this stuff is saved for.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if we're gonna save it for then, yeah. then I'm completely happy. Right. But
you guys think there's gonna be a fight? In the fight?
There might be. I'm not sure. Yeah, me and Oriana are gonna fight after this is over, probably. But
I want a
ref. There's only one way a dog fight ends.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
But it was just like kind of still like Burton is the most lethal killing machine I think in this show.
That's right.
And it just reinforced that. Even him taking what's her real name? Anna. Down in at the beginning is still the same thing because she essentially didn't finish the job, so
right.
he's there to pick
finish
up the
job. That's
right.
But yeah. it was a bummer that both of Burton's fights were off camera this episode. But I am hope that's part of my prediction. I'm hoping there's a major smackdown. Yeah. I think it's gonna happen. Are we ready? Do we feel?
Well, I don't think there's any fights in the finale.
No. Probably none at all. It's probably just a lot more talking. do we think? Because there's a moment where Kai comes down and after they. You know, Lucas beats the dude to a pulp, and then she shoots him in the head, which I was like, make him suffer a little longer. That'd
I know, but he would enjoy it, and...
Yeah, just probably, like a crackhead to jump the gun, though, right? Just
yeah,
like,
exactly. Actually, I don't know what a crackhead's like. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. But to the moment that Kai is this the man that killed Rebecca,
right.
there's still some weird part of me that like thinks that, like, was she really a part of this thing... I mean, early in the season, I predicted that it was made to look like she was part of that. And there was just a moment there where I thought, like, I don't know if...
Well, we didn't get clarity.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't
like,
admit to it. They didn't interrogate him.
Yeah, true. And in a lot of ways, it's like there's some closure to her story that we've gotten this guy. And it also removes him from the picture of having to, like, deal with that and all this character resolution that we need because the show's ending. But I just, for some reason, I thought, like, I don't know. There was some look on his face where I thought... Is he really asking that because he wants to know, or is he asking that because he's still trying to cover his tracks or something? I don't know. It's just like a weird thing that won't like leave my brain.
If it was somebody other than Bodhi, who do you think that it is?
But maybe because of some of that setup for her sort of betraying him, I could see that as a reason that he ended her life and then tried to make it look like it was part of these killings.
Like a copycat.
Something like that so that no one would be on
to
him.
If anyone did it, it was Burton.
Yeah, I mean, he would go do the dirty work. He would certainly go do the dirty work, and he's not scared of blood. We've seen this.
Yeah.
Right.
But there was something in me that just... I don't know if you are still on that at all, or...
I felt the same way, where I was like, okay, so they're just like, yep, we got the guy.
Right.
What about... Right. Like, we're not really sure. We know we found a sicko, but we don't...
Right.
There's so many sickos in Banshee. There's got to be another one around the corner.
Well, in true Banshee form, I mean, I'm sure they got, you know, a curveball or two.
Like, yeah, I'm sure. They have a couple.
Yeah.
How do we feel? Have we adequately discussed this episode?
We'll never adequately discuss
any
episode.
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine ever stopping.
Well,
especially considering there's only one left.
I know.
Like, who's coming in for the finale?
We don't know yet. Fans, I'm working on it.
How many people fit in this room?
I don't know, but we've thought, like, let's invite, because rumor has it, you guys might be watching that show on the final night or something on Thursday, but if anyone wants to join us here in studio,
we'll be taking whoever we can.
I know that Ivana really, really enjoyed her time here with you guys.
Good.
Yeah, she had a really good time.
We really enjoyed her being
here. Yeah.
It's so hard not. She is a gift.
I did especially.
She's a unicorn herself.
I've liked her. I've enjoyed her acting for a long time. And it was like, when I first started watching Banshee, I was like, and she's on the show too.
Yep.
I'm definitely
winning.
In.
That's right.
So it was kind of a big fanboy moment for her to be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I bet.
Great.
I'm still that way. She's literally like become family. And I still feel like...
It's like, oh man,
that's amazing.
Anyway, I guess.
All right, okay. We don't have any news. Do we have any news or gossip?
There's like a. I'll include it later. It's like just a little thing.
He means yes, but we'll go into predictions then.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
This is so much fun.
Yeah,
we think so too. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Yeah, unfortunately, it has to end.
Just as I ran out of whiskey.
Right. Yeah. So, Isaac, I'm going to let you do the honors. I would not want to steal your prediction from you.
How dare you? Well, one that little bit of news is that Gil Burnham, who was on the show in season two, he played George Hunter. If we remember him from season two, he's in a new movie called Hell or High Water, with Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine.
And those two.
And the trailer just dropped, so that's really cool. Part of the Banshee family.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
So go check that out. I certainly see a Kurt versus Calvin showdown. I don't know why I see that. I don't know. Like, it feels like I've been set up for that, but it seems like there is. But my real prediction about that is, like, one of them is not going to live, and sadly, I think I know who it is.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, sorry.
You never know.
It's your prediction.
You never know.
It's you take ownership.
You never know, but one of them is not coming out of that alive. Obviously, Proctor versus the Brotherhood. We had the cartel thing be mentioned again, so that all has to come together somehow. So much to do in like 1 hour. I'm like, is this a 2 hour or 3 hour episode? Because then I'll be satisfied.
Otherwise, you guys saw the teaser, right, for the finale?
Yeah, no. I did. I saw that there was a lot of bullets.
There's a lot
of fighting. I don't want to see anything. I mean, when I go home, I'll probably.
But there has to be.
I wept. I watched the teaser and I cried.
There has to be an ultimate sort of repercussion for Hood coming to town, pretending to be the sheriff. A lot of people died. There was a lot of violence that was as a result of that. So to me, I already sort of said this last episode, is that I think he has to. I don't think he can live through the final episode. I think because of that whole thing.
He has to
thing,
die without him us knowing his name.
Well, yeah, we're never going to know his name. That's an easy prediction. But just that the whole thing that there's a bench with your name on it, we talked about this last episode. Yeah. To me, that's the only way it ends for him, because it can't really end happily for him, I don't think so.
Not with all the death and devastation that he's brought.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so much death and devastation on the town. Yeah. So it's like all of that has to come to a head in this final episode. I certainly think Brock lives at this point. I predicted that he may not live, but I feel like he has to, because of what we had in this episode with him just wanting to do good. I feel like there has to be a character that is that good that will survive. But at the same time,
it's Banshee.
He's killed people. So, you know, even Hood
Shades
pointed that out
gray.
To him in that scene was that, like, you know, you did that for you. So, like, almost anybody's on the table here. Maggie lives. I'm saying, Maggie and Hank live.
Good. Oh, you guys are so off.
Yeah.
In the end, Kurt and Calvin both turn against Maggie.
Me and
Kurt are gonna raise my son together.
Yay! No, that's weird. I like this whole Phoenix thing that we're exploring. You know, all of these people, we're seeing them break down, get to their kind of rock bottom, whatever realization it is, be broken down and then reborn. So I feel like we have this opportunity. We've seen Calvin be reborn. We've seen Kurt over last season be reborn.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie's coming apart, but she's really admitting her feelings that she's had, conflicted feelings for
Lucas. The only one, what'd she say about never stop loving someone else?
She never stopped loving someone else.
Right.
Beautiful.
So super conflicted. I kind of felt like
that love story is maybe my favorite part of the whole series. Is that, like, at its core, man?
Season
it's story.
Two, yeah. I was like, they're getting back together. They're getting back together. So this episode, for a minute, I was like, maybe I'll get my dream. Even if they die in each other's arms, I'd be happy with that.
It could happen. It could happen.
So that's kind of my prediction, is that there's going to be a whole bunch of. I hope Brock is the hero in the end.
Yeah, I hope that too. I could certainly see them dying in each other's arms. I also have
Brock doesn't make a bit.
Romeo and
beard,
Juliet, it's
his
totally
beard,
yeah.
His beard makes it. That's why I've grown this beard. I just haven't had an audition in a couple of weeks, so I can do whatever I want with my
That's exactly what happens. There's no auditions. We just let ourselves go.
Yeah, I can do what I want. But I'm also going to make a big prediction that Chris Coy is going to have a lot of work after this, because, man, like, you've done an excellent job this season. It's really good.
I would concur. What about Declan? We have that last shot on his eyes. He doesn't look very dead.
I thought for a moment, but that's like some sort of supernatural thing. That wouldn't be
in
line with the show at all. But I thought for a minute, like, is he going to open his eyes? But thank God they didn't.
I was like, that dude's dead.
Yeah, that would have went, like, off the rails for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, Greg, Alan, Jonathan would not do that to us.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So, is that it for predictions?
That's all I got.
Yeah, okay. So, Chris, where can the people find you?
Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at Mr. Chris Coy, and Instagram at Christopher James Coy.
Ooh.
And then if you're a Facebooker, just find my mom.
Aww. And
she knows more about me than I do.
Any projects that you can talk about that might be upcoming?
Negative.
Okay.
Although, I mean, if David Simon's watching, hey, buddy.
Yeah. I agree with Isaac. We're going to be seeing a lot of you soon,
I
right?
You guys.
We have to sell, support the Banshee family.
No. Well, and that being said, I have to thank the Banshee family, because they, I mean, it's like this much me. It's mostly, you know, I mean, as you know, as an actor, like it's so the writing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just got blessed. Again, like, my wife and I would be reading the scripts, and it would be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, it's so
rich.
You know, yeah, exactly.
So rich. What a rich experience.
Right.
Isaac, where can the people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Isaac Johnson or Instagram, The Isaac Johnson. Chris Coy is following me on both of those things. That's right. It was an exciting day for me yesterday. I got to see that. Yeah. Also, you can check out Cocktail Cinema, where we have drinks and discuss film.
Hey, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You can.
Me too.
You guys do guests on there, too?
Yeah, we will for you.
Okay. And I'm Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo. I'm sorry, at Miss Oriana. Twitter at Oriana Leo. And check out tiltbyoriana.com, my new fitness business. You can get svelte and sexy just like me with me. Mm-hmm. So put in your info. You get a deal of being an AfterBuzz fan.
I think my wife's going to sign up.
Oh, yeah?
I think she wants to take a class.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. For real.
Super excited. All right, Banshees. We'll see you next time for the final episode ever.
All right, thanks, Chris.
No, thank you guys so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Fanchies forever!
Yeah, Fanchies forever.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.